Living Word, you still have many things to say to us. Speak now to our hearts and minds. May the Spirit guide us into all truth, that our lives may glorify you.
Amen. Amen.
Well, this coming Saturday at 11 o'clock on the church lawn, unless it rains, Rock Lake Presbyterian Church will offer a blessing of the animals to our congregation and to our community. There are two times in the year where a brief, usually outdoor service is offered by some churches to bless our animals. One is on the Saturday following Earth Day in April, a wonderful way in Eastertide, as the earth is waking up in spring, to be reminded that all of creation and the handiwork of God who has made us all, and that we are a part of it. A more common time is in October, on the Saturday that is closest to the birthday of St. Francis. St. Francis is the patron saint of the environment and of animals. And this day, we will be offering it. We will be offering it on that day this year. We may have sister congregations, other Christian denominations, who will also be observing next Saturday as a day to bless our animals. Now, why would we do that? The most obvious answer is that we have pets, we have animal companions that we love, and we want to ask God to bless them, even as we ask God's blessing on all that God has made, including our family members. And many of us have regarded our pets as beloved members of our households and of our families. The Presbyterian Book of Common Worship has prayers for creation and for the blessing of animals. So you see, it's a Presbyterian thing. But another reason might be more broadly understood as a part of our faith. It's a recognition that animals are a part of the creative work of our God whom we worship and from whose hand all life comes. And that includes us and our cherished animals. And our faith teaches us that God has honored us. We are privileged to be in partnership with our Creator, who has made us stewards, caretakers, guardians of this good earth and of all that's in it. In Genesis chapter 2, which is the second telling in Genesis of creation, God places Adam in the garden and tells him to till it and to care for it. And then when God creates the animals, God brings each of the creatures to Adam for Adam to choose a name for it. Now, do you suppose that Almighty God could not think up of a name on his own? Of course he could, but he offers humanity the privilege of being in partnership with creation. In Genesis 1, 20 to 26, and in the passage that we will hear in a couple minutes from Psalm 8, it tells us that we have been given dominion over the earth. That has too often been misunderstood to mean that we can do whatever we please with the earth. Dominion in the Bible does not mean that we are given license to do whatever we want with the earth and with its creatures. That surely is not what dominion means. We have been entrusted with the earth to love and care for it, as God loves and cares for it. And of course, that includes all of creation, including all that breathes and has life. So, does it matter if we recycle? Does it matter if we take care of our water and our soil? Does it matter if we put solar panels on the roof of this church? If we treat other animals, other creatures with respect, does it matter? It is God's will that we take care of and respect all of which God has entrusted to us. One of the purposes, one of the tasks, one of the assignments of our being put on this earth as guardians and as caretakers is to ensure that this world and all of its creatures are developed to the glory of God. So let's hear together Psalm 8. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are humans that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? And yet, you have made them a little lower than God and have crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
God.
You may know that the first images, the first art that humans represented were of animals. The famous prehistoric cave paintings in France, there are over 600 of them, they're estimated to be 17,000 years old. And I have read just this past week that there have been equally ancient paintings which have been discovered in our own country. The connection between humans and animals was recognized by our prehistoric ancestors. Archaeological digs at ancient campsites have found evidence of dogs sharing the firelight and the large bones with humans. And some of the earliest burial sites that have been uncovered have found human bones and canine bones intermingled. In other words, the dogs were buried with their masters. In northern Israel, a grave was uncovered which was estimated to be 10,000 years old. It was of a woman. She was lying on her side, and her outstretched arm was covering the bones of a dog. And for many of us, if not most of us, there is something in us that recognizes that connection, even if we don't verbalize it. Many nursing homes add resident pets to their staff, and others welcome them to come and to visit. And there are countless stories of service dogs helping vets and others to heal, and others who are invaluable helpers to people who are suffering in body or in mind. Animals like dogs and cats and dolphins, and elephants, and pigs, and mice, and others like horses have been documented in saving human life in a variety of ways. Everything from alerting owners to medical emergencies or dangerous situations to physically intervening in attacks or hazardous events like fires. Google will gladly provide you with many interesting stories. Studies have shown that caring for a pet, even just seeing one or touching one, lowers the heart rate and advocates for a sense of calm and well-being and elevates the spirit. A service of blessing of animals will often be held the first Saturday in October, as ours will be, since that is the Saturday closest to the birthday of St. Francis, patron saint of the animals and the environment. Francis was born in 1181 in Italy to a wealthy family, but he felt that God was calling him to renounce wealth and privilege and to follow God, and so for the rest of his life, he became a monk. There are stories about Francis. Are they historically accurate? Who knows? But they do tell us what people have believed about him. One story is of a village being terrorized by a savage feral wolf. And the villagers asked Francis to intervene, which he did. And the wolf came and lay at Francis' feet like a puppy. Francis was said to preach to the birds. And he said that we too should preach at all times. And he said, if necessary, we should use words. Mahatma Gandhi, the great Hindu saint of India, said that the character of a nation, its moral progress, can be judged by the way its animals are treated. The Dalai Lama, highest spiritual leader of Tibet, once said that perhaps one day we will kneel down and beg the animals for forgiveness. Pope Francis died this past April, and he had this to say about animals. Paradise is open to all God's creatures. We will see our pets in heaven. Eternal life will be a shared experience of wonder in which each creature, resplendently transfigured, will take its rightful place. Martin Luther, who more than 500 years ago began the entire Protestant Reformation, said this: Jesus was the savior of humans and of the beasts. Martin Luther stated that in heaven we will be able to handle bears and lions the way we handle puppies now. Luther addresses his own dog in this way. He says, "Be thou comforted, little dog. Thou too, in resurrection, shall have a little golden tail." Isaiah 11, verse 1 to 10 speaks of the peaceable kingdom in which not only humans, but all of God's creatures will live together in peace and harmony. It begins this way: "The wolf shall lie down with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion will feed together, and a little child shall lead them." Well, I don't need to remind you that that's not the way it is now, is it? Not for people, not for animals. And Woody Allen one time said, "It is possible for the lamb and the lion to lie down together, but you need an endless supply of lambs." Eugene O'Neill, American playwright, who is not really known for being very sentimental, wrote this in the voice of his beloved dog. "No matter how deep my sleep, I shall hear you. And not all the power of death can keep my spirit from wagging a grateful tail. I will always love you as only a dog can." And those of you with pets, when you are afraid or sick or nervous, what happens? Most likely your pet is right there with you. Your pet may sense your pain, may feel your grief along with you, and your furry friend may guard you anxiously until you are feeling better. I have a colleague whose dog is the same breed as my Wolfgang was. When his father was dying, the dog stayed in the bed with the dead. And when he finally passed over, the dog leaped off the bed, went under the bed, and would not come out. Sharing grief? Sure sounds like it to me. In 2017, the Pulse nightclub in Orlando was the scene of a horrific mass shooting in which 49 people were killed and many more were badly wounded. The Lutherans, one of our sister denominations, sent in comfort dogs. That's one of the Lutheran Church's ministries. And when the destructive floods of June 2016 leveled much of Greenbrier County in southern West Virginia, again, the Lutherans provided comfort dogs. The job of these specially trained dogs was solely to provide comfort and reassurance and hope to those who had been traumatized. The Bible is full of references to dogs and to animals. And here are just a few. Isaiah 40, "They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles." And from Job 12, verse 10, "God, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing." So they have souls? Well, apparently the writer of Job thought so. years ago, there was a woman named Alice Faye Bragg that some of you may remember. She was a weekly columnist for our local newspaper. She was a gifted writer, but she was also a good old country girl from Clay County. And she lived on a farm. She had a little dog that she absolutely loved, and she would often write about the dog in her columns. When the dog died, her heart was broken, and many of us who read her columns grieved along with her. Her husband said, "What is the matter with you? Why are you grieving? Dogs don't have souls, and you can always get another one." Well, she wrote in one of her columns that she, old-fashioned wife that she was, who rarely disagreed with her husband, she told him in no uncertain terms that indeed her dog did absolutely have a soul and was now in the presence of the Lord Jesus. But I digress. Psalm 150, verse 6, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." On Palm Sunday, Jesus rides a donkey into Jerusalem, and halfway down the hill from the Mount of Olives, he stops and looks over the city of Jerusalem, and he begins to weep, and he compares himself to a mother hen. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you to myself as a mother hen gathers the chicks, but you would not." Jonah 4, verse 11. God's mercy is to all the animals. Psalm 36, verse 6. "Thy judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast thou savest, O God." Ecclesiastes 3, 19. "For the fate of the sons of men and the fate of beasts is the same. They all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beasts." Can those of us who have been privileged to have loved and who to have been loved by an animal, can we see in those beloved creatures a reflection, a little glimmer of the grace of God, the unconditional love, the endless forgiveness? The only thing in our human lives that is truly immortal, in our human lives that is truly immortal, is the love of God through Jesus Christ. And often our pets remind us of that. Dunbar Presbyterian has for many years offered a monthly Saturday lunch to anybody who wants to come. Once I was talking to a woman who came for lunch, and she brought her cat. And she was telling me about her cat. She said, "This cat absolutely saved my life at a time when I was deeply, deeply unhappy." And as if on cue, the cat took its paw and put it on the woman's hand. Well, you have your own stories, don't you? But the only thing about pets is that they don't live long enough, and we are likely to lose them through death, even as we will lose each other through death. If we did not love our pets, and if we didn't love each other, it wouldn't matter if they die. It's the price of learning to love each other and our animal companions as well. Our faith teaches us, and we pin our hopes on the promise of a life beyond this life for ourselves and for those we love. That is the message of Easter. Life beyond this human life has been prepared for us and for all of those that we love. So, what happens when a beloved animal dies? Listen to this passage from Revelation 11, verse 4. This is a vision of the glory of God at the close of history. "And I heard the voices of men and angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures." And I pause here to remind us that the New Testament was originally written in Greek, and the Greek word that is translated normally as creatures really stands for animals. And the elders, so it's men, angels, animals, and the elders, and they numbered myriads and thousands and thousands. Get it? People, angels, animals, the elders. The animals are in heaven praising God. Our Lord cares about animals and about us and about the whole creation. The first letter of John, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, says this: Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, because God is love. Now, note that John does not say that God has love. John says God is love. God loves all creation and all of the creatures, because that's the way God is. And God loves all of God's creation for all eternity. The Bible says that the whole creation will be redeemed and restored. It doesn't say just the people. It says the whole creation. Will there be cold noses at the pearly gates? Will those beloved animal companions meet us at the door of heaven the way they greet us at the doors of our homes when we return at the end of the day? I'm counting on it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our human ties with our friends of other species is a wonderful and special gift from you. Your goodness is turned upon every living thing, and your grace flows to all your creatures. Grant to our special animal companions long and healthy lives. Give them good relationships with us and with each other. And if you see fit to take them from us, help us to understand that they are not gone from us, but only drawing closer to you. And may you, who created us and the animals of this earth, may you continue to protect and sustain us all, now and forever. May our stewardship, our caretaking of all the earth, increase and be pleasing in your sight. We thank you for the gift of the earth and for life itself. And to you be glory now and forever, for it is in you that we and all living creatures live and move and have our being. Amen.